Should we get like a theme song for our podcast?
I guess so. You know, what
Yeah.
do you think of this one?
Hey, this is Mark Target from Clamtown CrossFit, located in Tuckerton, New Jersey. I'm sitting down with Bob Shirtenlieb, and we're going to discuss this week's programming to kind of get inside his head about why we're doing all this work, all these exercises, what goes into the programming, and what's the desired outcome.
When you take the master's course, one of the things they talk about is movement bank accounts.
What's the master's course?
Master's course for CrossFit certification. Ron and I took that. It's for training athletes that are over 35 years old.
Oh, like old people.
Yeah. Which is, you know, the majority of our clients, our members, our family are over 35 years old. Mm. So that's one of the things I take into account when I'm looking at what I'm having everybody do. Yeah. Are there some people that could use more and do more? Yeah, there are. But the vast majority of our family does not need any more and should not do any more. And that's a hard thing for people to come to a realization with. So varying your workouts. So, you know, that's one of the things. Now, obviously, we're at home, we're quarantined, so we're limited with equipment, you're limited with weather. So variance becomes really hard. All right. And to get back to what you were talking about with, you know, or I started with the 100 push-up challenge, and then you said, well, you can vary your grip. That's perfect, right? Vary your grip, you know, vary your stance, wide, narrow, diamond push-ups, handstand push-ups. So now you can change the distance where your hands are apart, but you can also change the plane. So you could be doing that same movement, but you're seated down and you're doing a dumbbell press over your head. It's the same movements. You've changed the plane. So now you've added some variance. Handstand push-ups would be another good one where you could throw some of those in there. And again, you're changing the plane. So you're changing what are the major muscles that you're going to be using in that movement.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. You know, that's my one little thing. Like I said, I know I'll make some people mad with that, but that I just find it leads to more disappointment than anything for most people. Like the people aren't posting their videos that can only do 11 and stop. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like you never see the fail videos, right? Like, you know, that's the thing is, but you know, there's a lot of people out there that can't do. I couldn't do 100 pushups in a 15, 20 minute period. It ain't happen. But you know, that's me. My shoulders wouldn't be able to take it. If I did that 3 or 4 days in a row, I'd be jacked up.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing your body, you know, and that's the same thing when we do our programming right here. So that's what I'm trying to take into account when I'm figuring out the week. And again, right now we're kind of limited on movements because of equipment. And then how do we vary it? How do we get some variance in there? Now with body weight movements, like your push-ups or your pull-ups or your sit-ups and stuff like that, the nice thing about that, you could have higher volume on a daily basis because it is just your body weight, right? You know, you're not going to do 100 bench presses at your max bench press weight, you know, way too much volume, right? So that's what I have to take into consideration. And then, you know, what is a relatively decent amount of time to get this workout done in, right? So then you have your broad time domain, right? So, you know, a 2 minute workout, a 30 minute workout, a 60 minute workout, you know, a 15 minute workout. So that's that variance. Now, the majority of our workouts have been in that, you know, 10 to, we'll say 20 minute range. And again, more so because of, you know, our situation right now. But it does help to change that up somewhat. Now, the class structure is usually still an hour or somewhere around there, you know, that 45 minutes to an hour range. So you're really working out for an hour, but that intensity level's in chunks. And the main workout is in that, you know, 3 minute to, we'll say, 45 minute range on average. So that's, you know, that's the thought process on this. And going back to the movement bank, right? This is one of the things they talked about, especially with older athletes, is, you know, how many pull-ups should a 50-year-old athlete do per week? You know, and depending on their athletic ability, prior injuries, different things like that, would determine that bank. So let's just say your pull-up bank's 300 for the week. All right, and you do Cindy on Monday. And let's just say you got 15 rounds of Cindy done on Monday. That's 15 times 5. There's 75 pull-ups. So you're at, you know, 40% of your pull-up. You've withdrawn 40% of your bank account money from those pull-ups on Monday. You know, so, you know, you wouldn't go, let's do Cindy on Monday. Let's do Murph on Tuesday. Let's do Angie on Wednesday. You know, now we're at 100, 200, 275 pull-ups in 3 days. You know, most people, you know, they would have exhausted their bank account. So they talk about like those high rep movements and watching those ones where you could cause shoulder injuries, elbow injuries, and stuff like that, where that connective tissue is, because people are kipping those pull-ups. You know, nobody's doing 100 strict pull-ups. So that's some thoughts on what's going through my mind as I'm laying out the week. So let's jump into it. What do you think, Mark? We'll jump into Monday.
Yeah. So Monday we got, you have alternating pistol squats and, the sumo deadlift high pull. So we just recorded that yesterday.
Okay.
And, it broke Lily and Autumn like very quickly. Like,
yeah,
I think after like the third or fourth minute, like Autumn could no longer do, I mean, Can you Scrappy?
Yeah, I know. Scrappy. Dogs.
Yep.
They hear a dog in the neighborhood, they start barking. Yeah, so after 34 minutes.
You'll see in the warm-up that it's like their pistol squats are perfect. And then a couple of minutes in, they were broken, like both of them. So,
yeah.
Like, you know, if you have like, okay, so my pistol squats are halfway decent, you know, but that, I guess that just looking at, you know, when you look at the workouts and it looks simple, it's like, oh, I'm just going to do those two things for like 16 minutes and voila. But as I watch those two girls in their pistol squats, you know, that's going to happen to me too. Right.
Oh yeah. 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 You know, you look at this workout. When I was thinking of this workout, I was like, you know what, you know, we've been doing air squats. We've been doing, you know, here's a little bit more of a high, an advanced gymnastics type movement that we haven't done in quarantine yet. You know, you could do it at home. You could do any of these modifications we work with it for people at home. So I thought, okay, this is, you know, and you're going to do it at a lot lower volume than you would do, say, air squats. Right. And then the sumo deadlift high pull was one of those other movements where we haven't really messed with in at home. Or in the gym that much, but it's a great movement that you could do with a broomstick up to some type of weighted instrument, whether it's your backpack, kettlebell, dumbbell, a plate, you know, a heavy, if you have a metal plate at home, you could still do that movement with that, you know, and it's one of those full body movements that's really going to get your heart rate up, where the pistol is going to work on some gymnastics body weight strength. So when I took the numbers, I when I looked at that, I said, okay, what is what would a really good athlete, something that we're trying to achieve, what's a reasonable amount of pistol squats in a minute and get recovery? Okay, so 10 for someone that can bust them out relatively quickly you should probably finish that in about 30 seconds. And you are got about 30 seconds recovery.
Okay, so as in that first minute, you're going to kind of gauge it. So instead of going 10 out the gate, you're going to be like, all right, how many did I do in 10 or fit 30 seconds? And then try to maintain that the whole entire time. Is that the same thing with the sumo deadlifts?
Yes. So the sumo deadlift is going to be more about your cardiovascular endurance on this. That's going to determine, because you're not going to be using a heavy weight. I wrote down moderate weight. So if, like, for me or you, we would probably be looking at in that 75-pound range on a barbell, something that you could move, but you're not going to want to move once your heart rate's jacked up, right? It's not going to be a weight that's, oh, my God, that's too heavy. You know, 95 pounds on this would be the hold on the 20 for 8, you know, for 16 minutes would be rough. To try and get any kind of recovery. So you can mod it, right? You modify it by the amount of reps, like you were talking about with the pistols, right? So let's just say I'm working on my pistols. I don't have a tremendous amount. I'm not really that good at them, but I can do a few. So maybe I do 5 pistols and then 5 modified, you know, where I'm still getting the volume, mm-hmm. but I'm giving myself a little bit of a break because of, I'm working up the strength for that. Or you can just stay at say 5 or 6, and that's what it is. And you know, 5 or 6 over 8 minutes, it's still 40 something pistols. That's, you know, a good amount of pistols in a short period of time.
So would you say the goal of this workout is just staying consistent through the entire 16 minutes?
Yes. See if you can maintain those numbers. You're right. So like, let's just say, hey, I can hit 15 sumo deadlift high pulls at the weight I'm using consistently throughout. And I'm hitting, let's just say I'm hitting my 8 pistols the whole way out, you know, try to maintain that. The thought behind it is, though, is doing a high skill gymnastic movement under fatigue. So the sumo deadlift high pull is going to create the fatigue, mm-hmm. you know, the cardiovascular fatigue. And then you're going into this gymnastics movement. Now, some people say this is not a high skill gymnastics movement. Well, it is for majority of people. Majority of people aren't sitting there going down on one leg and coming back up. They don't have the balance, you know, the coordination or the strength, right? So no different than a handstand walk. You need balance, coordination, and strength. A muscle up, you need balance, coordination, strength. You know, these gymnastics, you need those three things, right? So your heart rate's jacked up, and now you're trying to tell your body how to do this movement. So you'll see that a lot with gymnastics movements when I program them like this. You know, I could sub in, instead of sumo deadlift high pulls, you could be doing double unders and then going to strict ring muscle ups or a muscle up of some sort. You can vary this combination a million different ways and have the same type format, and somebody look at it and go, that doesn't look that hard. Until they're about 3 minutes in, and then all of a sudden those movements become really, really hard.
I've learned that when Monday looked simple when you look at it on the board, and then you look at Tuesday and it's this huge chipper, and you're like,
yes,
look at all these movements. But I tend to enjoy chippers the most because I know that it's like, for me, like I just got to find my gear. Like as I'm going through these chippers and they're more than 20 minutes, like I'm not trying to sprint. I'm trying to just like keep moving at a 70% pace. And what I like about the chippers is once I'm done with something, it's like a to-do list. It's like a checklist. Like I'm done with it.
Yeah. 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 No, you're right. So you go to Tuesday. So we come off of this gymnastics type movement, right? Where you can use this EMOM to practice. Let's just say you're not really good at pistols. Well, here's an EMOM, you know, here's a workout that it has built-in practice ability. You can practice them or modify them to get it. So now we go to this chipper, which is going to be on the longer side. You know, the goal is under 25 minutes. So it's on that longer side of the workouts. It's like you said, one and dones, which a lot of people like. Hey, I'm not coming back to this again. I'm not coming back. So mentally, sometimes it helps you push through, even though you're, you know, let's just say you're doing some thrusters and you're like, man, when you're doing Fran and you know, I got to come back and do 15 more of these, and then I got to come back and do 9 more of these, is it mentally, it slows you down. Where if you just had to do 45 to start with, you might be like, hey, once I get done with these 45, I'm done. I don't have to pick up that bar again and go to someplace else. So chipper definitely changes your mentality when you're doing them. And then you're usually descending reps. So the reps will get less, but if it's programmed right, the reps will get smaller, but the movements become increasingly harder. So you follow me? So on Tuesday we have 200 double unders. All right.
So that's just gonna, you know, whenever you put 200 double unders at the beginning of anything, you start, your heart rate's jacked up. So then you got to, like, the next movement is about like calming your heart rate down, but then you throw in kettlebell swings.
Mm-hmm. So now your heart rate's not coming down.
Right.
So you're going to keep that heart rate up. Now that weight on that is, again, for a really good athlete, 53-pound kettlebell is not that heavy. So understand this, when you're doing this, those 80 swings, even though you can do a kettlebell swing at 53 pounds, you may not want to be doing a kettlebell swing at 53 pounds. You know, like, so if you pick up that 53-pound kettlebell or whatever weight you're going to use and you're doing sets of 10, it's probably too heavy. You should be getting bigger sets than that. You know, you should be getting, you know, that 20 to 25 reps before you have to put it down. And if you're, and conversely, if you're picking it up and you're knocking out 40 kettlebell swings, you probably went a little too light, you know? So then we come off of that. Now our heart rate is, you're flying. And all of a sudden, oh, here we go. This high skill gymnastics movement, a toes to bar. Okay. So now you need the strength. You're going to be using the shoulder muscles that you just did with your double unders and you just did with your kettlebell swings. Now you're going to be changing the plane to above your head so that the double unders, the plane was, the hands were below your shoulders. Kettlebell swings, the hands are going to be parallel and now above your head, right? So I've hit this shoulder, this full range of motion on the shoulder harness, right? And again, 60 of those. Tough. Not easy. The modification is a lying leg raise, which is a lot easier. But for somebody that doesn't have a lot of core strength, they're very hard. So that's where I'd be laying on my back and lifting my legs up together over my head and back down. So we get off of that. More than likely, our heart rate's going to be down a little bit now because most people are going to have to break up those toes to bar, right? They're not going to be able to bust out a lot. So they're going to be stopping, catching their breath. The heart rate's going to come down. Oh, let's go for an 800-meter run.
Now, that could be a rest for somebody, the run.
Could be. Yeah, if somebody's a good runner, that could be, you know, they could use that as, you know, and if they pace it right. So let's look at the time domains on this so far, right? So 200 double unders. For a average, you know, for somebody that's a decent double under guy, that's roughly just under 2 minutes. We'll say,
okay.
You know, somebody that's average like me, probably in the 3.5 minute range. All right. 80 kettlebell swings, probably going to get done with that in that 2.5 minute range. All right. If I choose the proper weight, if I go way too heavy, then I could be stuck on that. The toes to bar again, if you're doing sets of say 10, you should blow through that in about 2 minutes. I mean, if that's a movement that's tough for you, you know, you should either change it to maybe a knee raise. If you have the ability to hang from a bar, you can always change it to knee raises where you can get a little bit more. But you're going to be in that, let's say, that 2.5 minute range for that. Then you're going to go out for your 800-meter run. Again, for me, that's about 4 minutes at a decent, you know, a moderate pace. 4 minutes. 40 box jumps, you know, in that 2.5 minute range, especially coming off. Your legs just ran. Now we've done with our upper body, right? And now we've started to run with our lower body, our legs. We're going to come back in and we're going to do some box jumps on there. Dumbbell hanging power cleans, which again is a leg driving out. So you're driving with those legs. The arms really aren't doing much in that. Then we're going to switch off of that back into handstand push-ups. And then into muscle ups or chest to bar, depending on what kind of movement you have. So again, some high skilled gymnastic movements in here, and then stuff to get your heart rate up.
And for me, like, I think I would attempt to do all, so I have all these movements, but there's no way I'm getting that done in 25 minutes. I don't think. My double unders are not as the great. You know, that great. Yeah. My kettlebell swings are decent. I don't know if I have a spot.
I would do it. Yeah. No, I think what you would need to do is think about, okay, not spending too much time on any one movement, meaning like, so let's just say I do 200 double unders or 3 minutes, whichever comes first. At the 3 minute mark, put the jump rope down, get on the kettlebell swing. You know what I mean? Same thing with the toes to bar. If that's too much volume for me, then maybe I say I'm going to spend 3 minutes on the toes to bar. Wherever I get, I move on to stay in that time domain. That's a good way of doing it if you're watching the clock and stuff, if you don't have a really good idea. If you're somebody that's not, you don't know what you should be doing, you know, you don't have a lot of experience where you know, hey, I know this is a difficult movement for me, so I need to, I need to scale down the reps or modify the movement. So that's, you know, that's one way of looking at it for you. That's what I would do. Any of the movements that you think you're going to spend a little bit too much time on. And for me, I might say, you know what, double unders are going to be tough, but you know what? I want to get better at them. I'll suffer through the double unders. Maybe I go a little bit lighter with the kettlebell swing so I can do bigger sets. So I could kind of make up that time. Then I get to the toes to bar and, you know, maybe I make sure, hey, you know, by the time I get done, I might go a little bit lighter on the weight. So the handstand push-ups, I have a little bit more in the bank to do those handstand push-ups because personally, these are the things I want to work on. I want to see how I perform in a workout with them. So I might go a little bit lighter on weight leading up to them. And then the body weight version of that same workout is very similar rep scheme. You'll see we have good mornings written in there. So it's a very similar movement to a kettlebell swing, but let's just say you don't have a kettlebell. This is where you put a PVC pipe on your back or a broomstick on your back and do a really slow 1, 2, 3 down, 1, 2, 3 back up, like a tempo version of it. Or, maybe you have, a milk jug or something you could put on your back, you know, and just hold it up by your shoulders. Okay. And come down to it.
A dumbbell or some bands.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If you have bands or the dumbbells, but it's not something that's going to be heavy at all. Pike compressions, again, that's more of a core deal. The 50 burpees, just kind of jacking that heart rate up again for somebody that doesn't want to go run. You know, there's your burpee option. Maybe they can't run. Maybe it's pouring out.
Lunges the
hand release. What's that?
Yeah, lunges after burpees.
Yep, lunges after burpees. So, you know, you don't have that box, but we know what those lunges do to your quads. They get your, you know, legs lit up again. The hand release push-ups instead of, you know, handstand push-ups, dips. You know, you can do them on a chair, on a coffee table. Again, trying to just get that tricep work that you'd see in, like, the muscle up and the handstand push-ups. And you can mix and match, you know, you can mix and match these things. Let's just say, hey, I want to do all this stuff. I want to go for the 800 meter run. Well, use the 800 meter run instead of the 50 burpees. You can mix and match that stuff. Nothing's wrong. Yeah. So that's the chipper. So then on Wednesday.
Yeah. So, what's the backstory on Wednesday? Why, you know?
Okay. Well,
crazy workout.
Yeah. Well, one thing we decided to do for bingo, and I wanted to help people out, especially after the first day of bingo, I seen people like, oh, I'm going to do this Hero Wad. I'm going to do that Hero Wad. We made a Hero Wad Wednesdays for the bingo. So okay. I said, well, maybe I'll do Hero Wads on Wednesday. That's not why I did this Hero Wad here, but I'm going to program something on Wednesdays to kind of, so people don't have to think about it too much because.
Oh, funny story is last week I did that. So I was like, oh, I'm going to do this hero wad. So I like matched up with somebody else and I did something ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I see people posted, oh, I did DT. And I looked and I'm like, oh, today was a hero wad. Like I didn't have to do like, thanks. So yeah. I didn't realize that till later that
yeah.
I didn't program that in there. So
yeah, it was DT with dumbbells. I just didn't call it DT. And Gloria was asking me, she's like, oh, what hero workout should I do today? And I seen it on the Facebook, she reached out to me and I'm like, oh, well, just do today's workout. It's a hero workout. It's just with dumbbells instead. The movement scheme's the same. And instead of just doing five rounds, we turned it into an AMRAP. But overall, it's the same thing.
But I had no idea. So I think sometimes, you know, things, you know, sometimes the information that I have, I just assume everyone else knows. And that's not always the case.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. And, some people might recognize the rep scheme. Some people, most people wouldn't because, they haven't been doing this for 10 years and done DT, a billion times. But getting back to Creeper, one of our athletes, Ronnie, he requested me back in February, if we could do this hero workout Creeper on April 8th. And I talked to him a little bit about it. And he had said he knew these guys. Ronnie was in the Marine Corps. These were friends of his that got killed. He knew each one of these guys. So I said, yeah, sure thing. We're going to do it. Don't worry about it. We're going to do it. And, then the coronavirus happens, right? And I said, you know what? We're going to do it anyway. I made a promise. We're going to do it. I realize some of this stuff is not going to work for people. If you have a barbell, then you can play around with this stuff pretty easy. You can sub in stuff left and right. But, at the end of the day, we're just doing this to try to remember and honor three guys that, died fighting for our country. And for one of our family members, it meant a lot to him. And this is the day it happened on. So I said, you know what, we're going to do it. And it just happened to work out to be a Wednesday too. So you could check off two boxes at one time.
Sometimes together.
Yeah. It seemed right, And there's some running in there, 1200 meter run. That's 3/4 mile. So it's about 2.5 miles of running or 2.25 miles of running altogether. And so then you do these.
Yeah. You have four rounds of one thing and four rounds of something else, right?
Yes. With running spattered in between.
All right. So I don't have a deadlift bar. So.
Yeah. If you have dumbbells, you can use the dumbbell, do a dumbbell deadlift.
Okay. I got
okay.
this.
If you have dumbbells, yes. If you don't have dumbbells either, load up a backpack and do a backpack deadlift. We've done those before.
I can grab one of my kids.
Yeah, you can grab one of your kids. Exactly. You could, anything that you're just going to kind of lift off the ground and lift up. If you have a bag of, mulch, sand, anything, you could just lift it up, put it back down. You're just deadlifting this stuff. Floor press is a bench press without a bench. So you're just laying on your back on the ground and you're pressing out like you're doing a bench press. And again, you can use dumbbells. You can use a barbell if you have a barbell. You can use your backpack. You can use your kids and you're just pressing them out. So it's kind of like a upside down bench press or a push-up.
When I look at the floor press and I look at 135, like is that supposed to be with dumbbells or like a barbell?
This would be written for a barbell. So it would be something that most guys – at 135 should be able to move unbroken. Those four rounds, 8 deadlifts at 225, 8 floor presses at 135, and 8 back squats at 135, you should be able to just cycle right through that.
So those are all light movements. These are
they're light to moderate weight for so that's why I said don't worry about, hey, I don't have 225 pounds. Most of our athletes aren't probably going to be deadlifting, 225. They're probably going to be deadlifting 100 pounds and their floor press may be 50 pounds and their back squat may be 70 pounds, But the idea is whatever your floor pressing, it's the same weight you're back squatting. And let's just say you only have a 50-pound bag. Well, 50-pound deadlift, 50-pound press, 50-pound back squat. And just cycle through that four times, and you're back out on the run. Then you're going to come back in, and you're going to do 20 burpees, chest to bar pull-up, right? So, okay, well, we all can do burpees, but we might not all have a chest to bar pull-up. We might not have the ability to do a chest to bar pull-up. So you're going to take that bag or weight or whatever you were doing, and you're going to do a bent over row. So if you have dumbbells and you don't have a pull-up bar, you can do a burpee. Then you pick up those dumbbells with a bent over and pull to your chest and back down into a burpee. Barbell would be the same thing. So a bent over row. And if you only have one dumbbell, then you would just, you know, one arm pull. You would just double it up so both arms get pulled. And then 10 box jumps, step up on a bench, on steps in your house or outside your house, would be the, and we go that 20-10 for four rounds and then 1200 meter run. Got it. So you're going to start with a 1200 meter run. You're going to have a 1200 meter run after you get done with the four rounds of eight. And then you're going to finish the whole thing with a 1200 meter run. So I didn't put a time domain on this. When we film this, what we'll probably do is just show somebody going out the door to go for a run and then come back in. We'll film the movements so everybody can see the movements. But yeah,
maybe we will do just kind of how you explained it. We'll kind of go through all the movements, like pick and choose. And then because there's no way something like this, we can time it right. Because a lot of times when we video, it's specific time domains so that you know, everyone on track.
Yeah, and I know this, it's not, you know, it's a little bit different than what we normally do, but I really wanted to make sure we did this on Wednesday for Ronnie and these guys. So I think people still get a lot out of the video. You can, instead of running, you could bike. Mm-hmm. You could go for a walk. Just cut down the distance so the time's right. So let's just say, hey, I can't run. I got bad knees. I got bad ankles. I don't have a bicycle. Go out for a 400 meter walk, you know, do a little quarter mile walk and back and then hit this stuff. All right. So that way you're not, you know, you don't have to walk the whole 1200 meters. You kind of keep that time domain down. If you have a bicycle, just three times it. So, Jen Hart asked me about, well, I can't run. Can I use a bicycle? I'm like, yeah. So just take your bike out and you would do 3,600 meters each time, which is about 2.25 miles. So you'd ride your bike for 2.25 miles, come back, do these exercises, go out, ride your bike for 2.25 miles, come back, do the other exercises, go out, ride your bike, come back. So you use a bicycle too. And if you were like, hey, I'm not really into running. Maybe I want to work on my double unders. You could do double unders there too if you wanted to. I mean, I wouldn't suggest it, but you know, but if you wanted to practice a little bit, maybe one time do, you know, a few double unders and then run one time and bike another time, you can mix and match it too. Like I bike the first round. Especially
if you ran that day, you'll have no choice.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's that. That's the workout on it. That's why we're doing it. I think it'll film well. People get a good idea of exactly what's going on. We'll show the movements, we'll show all the different options. It'll be good. So think of Ronnie and Ronnie's friends on Wednesday.
And then Thursday, I see you built in just kind of a recovery day, which is a long, long time ago. Some gyms close down on Thursday or just do open gyms.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right, Ron, Mark. So I was thinking, right, like, you know, this week looks, you know, it was looking pretty rough, right? We have a short, we'll say 16-minute EMOM that at first glance you're like, oh, that doesn't look so bad. It turns out to be pretty bad. Tuesday we have this chipper, which I think will be fun, but it'll be a lot of work. Then we have this hero workout that for most people that's going to be a lot of running for them if they go out and do the jogging. You know, the 2.25 miles – a lot of people don't, you know, don't run that much. Those of us that do run, you know, 5Ks and stuff like that might not feel like that's that big of a deal. But the other aspect of that workout, those pull-ups and the burpees, it's going to put a toll on you. So I thought Thursday, what better, you know, we have a ROMWOD. Thursdays are usually 45-minute long ROMWODs. So that's what I put in there for that day. I put a link on the app to bring you right into that ROMWOD.
So do we need to log in on there too?
Probably if you haven't logged in already once, like I have it saved. So when I click on it, it just brings it right into me on my laptop. So if somebody doesn't have if somebody has never put in the login and password, we might have to add that.
All right. So I'll put on the family page. I'll pin it to the top.
Yeah.
That way you can grab it. So.
Yeah. So that would, yeah. So I thought, I said, you know, let me try this. Maybe this may be an option for people because again, I'm watching people and I'm really happy that they're doing this. I really am. I'm really happy that they're exercising probably more than they've ever exercised before. But I'm worried that they're going to wear themselves down. And so I'm gonna put in these speed bumps myself. So Thursday's a speed bump. So now some people might say, hey, I don't care. I'm gonna go find something else to do that day because I have no business doing this. But I'm hoping that they'll listen to me or follow my instructions. So it's a mobility day. Which everybody can use mobility. Everybody can do it. And it's a nice little recovery. Really is.
And then we have our Friday. So I see you have, I like when you do the minimal gear version and the body weight version.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's just, it says 15 minutes, but 30 plank to squat.
So basically that's, you're going to be in a plank position.
Okay.
So think about being in that plank position. You're going to jump your feet up, go into an air squat, and then back to a plank position. So not really a burpee.
So it's because you're worse than a thruster. It sounds like
a little, yeah, a little bit. It's yeah. Yeah.
I can't imagine anything being like worse than a thruster, but I think you might've found something.
Yeah. Especially these are one of the, yeah. So I was looking at, you know, the minimal gear versions because I like that because it does give people the options that do have some gear, or if they have a really good setup, like let's just say they have a decent gym in their house where they have barbells and stuff. You know, you don't have to do the dumbbell or the kettlebell. You could use a barbell and do thrusters with a barbell. You know. And then burpees over the barbell. So you're going to do that plank to squat, and then you're going to do the burpee over something. So you're going to go into that burpee and then jump over something. If you have, if you're not really comfortable jumping, you just maybe have a little line on the ground that you just kind of hop over the line, you know, just so you're getting in the air. But yeah, I put it's 15 minutes. I think everybody should be able to hit that. I think I'm going to make sure that's a cap on that. Cause I want you, this is a workout where you could go too slow with, you could go too slow with it. Meaning that, you're looking at these burpees and you're looking at these thrusters and you're like, you know, I'm just going to go slow and get the three rounds done. And it takes me 30 minutes. We don't want that. You know, the goal is sub 15. You want to be moving fast on this. Again, the thruster weight should be something that you can move. You know, 50-pound dumbbell thruster equates to like a 95-pound thruster. Again, for a really good athlete, that's a lightweight. That's considered a lightweight. So for me, I'd probably use a 75-pound barbell if I was going to do this with a barbell. You know, something that I'm going to be able to get big sets of thrusters on.
But dumbbells, using the dumbbells are so much harder than the barbells.
They are. They are because, you know, you have that one arm can't help the other arm up. You know, it really shows some imbalances in strength from side to side. So, it's written in with a 50, but you could do, you know, if you have 35-pound dumbbells, I'd probably do it with a 35-pound dumbbell myself if I had 35-pound dumbbells. But again, if you're busting out 30 thrusters each time, maybe you went a little too light. Maybe you could have went a little bit heavier. But I doubt anybody, even with a lightweight, is going to be doing 30 of them in a row each time. I think just heart rate's going to be so jacked up, you're going to want to put it down just to breathe. You know, there is no relief in this workout. Thrusters into burpees. This is like your classic CrossFit workout. This is very similar to a workout I did at my L1, where it was thrusters and burpees with a barbell.
Okay.
Three rounds of 15 and 15. You know, and I believe they put like a 12-minute cap on it at the workout, but it was awful. So this is another one. So if we look at the week overall, right? So that's Friday, and then Saturday is going to be whatever the CrossFit at home workout is going to be.
Right.
So that's why I
noticed that you don't have to submit them right away. So on the open app, we have until April 24th. Because previously you would have to do the workout on Thursday night, and then you'd have until Monday. But
yeah.
You know. I don't know if that will delay. Like now that I know, I was going to wake up and do it today, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly. And then then a week goes by, and you're like, eh. You know.
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to like do them on Saturday mornings. So like, at least it's written in there for us on Saturday, so people can do them. They can do them with us during the Zoom class and do them. You know, kind of do it like we did when we did the CrossFit Open with the Friday night lights and stuff like that. You know, that was fun. So have that same effect. So that's what Saturday, at least this Saturday and next Saturday will be, because they're going to do it 3 weeks in a row for the workout. And then next Sunday is Easter Sunday. And I put a workout in there anyway. I was debating what to do with that since it was Easter. I was debating, you know, do I leave it empty? Do I not? And I threw something in there.
I think even when this is over, I like having like the at home workouts on Sunday. Maybe that would be something that we'll keep doing
Maybe we'll do, maybe we can do like a body weight, something minimal gear, body weight workout for Sundays. You know, program it in there. So if I look at the week overall as a whole, right? So, you know, starting with Monday, we had that 16-minute EMOM, gymnastics, and sumo deadlift high pull. And then we go into our chipper. So we're at like 25 minutes. And then we go into our hero workout. That's probably going to be in that 30 to 45-minute range for people. All right. So, you know, 16, the 25, the 45. Now we're down. We come in on Thursday. We got a recovery day. We're just going to do some ROMWOD. We're going to stretch out, give ourselves, our body some time to recover. And then Friday, we're going to go back into this classic CrossFit thruster burpee workout, which again is, you know, a little body weight, a little barbell. In a, you know, a 15-minute time domain. So, I've been listening to the people talk about like the burpees, you know, burpees are killing them. And I understand this, you know, this is the hard part, right? This is the hard part of programming it. Like there's only so many different workouts, you know, movements, exercise movements you can do that don't involve, you know, some kind of external object. You know, if you don't have anything at home, you know, push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups, squats, lunges, running, you know, jumping rope, you know, so it's hard to put these combinations together and to have, you know, a lot of variance, but we're trying. I think we're doing the best we can with that. I'm trying to stay aware of, you know, how many times we're doing burpees, how many burpees we're doing. Even the jumping and the rope, you know, can be, like I talked about earlier, too much. You know, you can, you know, you put a lot of strain on your Achilles and your calves by jumping way too much. You know, I'm looking at that. I mean, we do have some jump and rope this week, some bigger volume days on jump and rope, but we also, but I also want people practicing. So I've been putting it in the warm-ups, not a lot, just some warm-up practice to try and get people, you know, getting better at their jumps. And maybe hopefully by the end of this, you know, getting some more people doing double unders and stuff like that. So that's the week in a hole, basically, Mark. And then we'll see what CrossFit brings on Friday night for Saturday morning.